Do we want to save the pressing question of the shower towel thing for the beginning or the end of this conversation?
I must admit, I, like Chris, am somewhat curious, and I'll tell you why, George, because on Friday, you seem to kind of blow it off.
But well, then, I didn't blow it off. She blew it off. Like, you know, I'm just telling you, she didn't open the box on Friday.
Okay. Well, then, over the weekend, I got a message on Instagram from one at UNEEQ underscore, Laura Romo herself, saying, "Wow, this towel is bomb AF." So now I have Lindsay who loves the towel. I have Laura who loves the towel. Now the question is, does Kelly Sedano love the towel?
I don't know if she loved the towel. She did use it today. I did see it, but I didn't ask her if she loved it or not. Sorry. Yeah.
You are home today, correct?
I am, but she's not right now. So,
was she going to be here before 7 p.m. tonight?
Probably not. She's out with the kids somewhere.
Oh, I really want to talk to her.
Yeah, she's not home today. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're doing like a Friendsgiving with like the like her PTA mom friends and the kids.
Yeah.
So they're out. They're not even here.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll just tweet her.
I would imagine she'd be busy, but you could tweet her. Yeah, if you'd like.
I mean, thus far I'm 100% between
Lindsay, I'm sure she loved it if she wore it. I would imagine she was fine with it.
Between Lindsay and Laura, I'm 100%. I have not heard back yet from the boss lady though.
She's on vacay.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah,
Amanda's
you're not
out on vacation. Yeah, yeah, she's on vacay.
Zero chance that's going to happen, actually. Yeah.
All right. Well, so far I'm feeling pretty good. I'm 2 for 2.
So let me ask you this. While I was doing USC and UCLA, which we'll talk about later, you were watching a cover band?
Okay, hold on. Just to be clear, I want to make sure everybody understands something. A cover band is a group of people who get together and play songs from other bands that they like. However, there is a difference in category here in the genre of tribute band.
Okay.
Tribute band is where they attempt to look like the band.
Okay.
They sound like the band. They play every song in their collection. So I have a friend, George, who has a band called the Foo's Fighters.
Right, with a and Z at the end. Yes.
Right, they're currently starring in a show on E! Called Clash of the Cover Bands. It's a Jimmy Fallon produced show.
Wait a second. You just called it a tribute band and they called the show you just said it's a cover band now. No, which
I personally do not like what Jimmy named the show, but I'm just telling you that this is a tribute band called the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
And they annihilated Saturday night. I was there to watch it, have a great time. So while
they
were calling USC UCLA, I was busy watching my daughter play a soccer game, my next daughter play a field hockey game, and then right into a Foo Fighters show.
Yeah.
And there you were, working, grinding, calling the game. I was listening.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Whether you listen in between travel to the soccer game, the field hockey game, and then the Foo's Fighters.
Right. That's right. I was listening. And by the way, what a game you had a chance to call.
Yeah.
USC versus UCLA.
Lots
Did these two teams do a play-by-play guy a favor by scoring 100 points together or what?
Yeah, they definitely did that. I don't think there's any question. It's so funny because it was the opposite. I guess we could talk about it now a little bit because I do want to get into this Lakers thing with LeBron. But it was the complete opposite of what I expected, to be frank with you, because I expected both teams to run the ball. I think UCLA, because they run the ball really well, but they were down one running back. Britton Brown did not play very much, if he played at all. In that particular game, he was dinged up. Zach Charbonnet played. Keegan Logan played. And then Ethan Fournier got in the game late and scored a touchdown. But they, UCLA has been a very ground control type of team. Even their quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, runs the ball a lot. And that was not the case. They came out slinging it from the get-go. So much so that UCLA and Dorian Thompson-Robinson threw two picks to start the game on their first two drives. First two passes. He was 0 of 2, or maybe 2 of 2, but to the other team. And I was like, oh, boy. I mean, there were three straight turnovers, literally three straight plays of turnovers in that game. So I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect 100 points or whatever between them almost and over 1,000 total yards. That's for sure.
Yeah, 62-33. You're a play-by-play guy. I don't know how it was at the end, George, but when you're walking out of the Coliseum, did you have a pretty good lather going?
Yeah, it was tiring. Yeah,
yeah, I would think
so. Well, you know what was awful was my throat was really dry. I don't know if it was because it was super hazy. Downtown or whatever. I mean, maybe that has something to do with it. I'm also an allergy person. Like, I get allergies, like I get, you know, seasonal allergies and things like that. So maybe that was it, but it was it at the, by the end, I was pounding waters the whole game because my throat just kept getting dry. And with all the action, that probably didn't help, to be honest with you.
Did I see also, I saw one of your tweets that Max Starks, check me on this.
Yeah.
The former Super Bowl champion offensive lineman of the Pittsburgh Steelers was your color commentator.
Yeah.
And I love Max Starks. Many years ago at a Super Bowl, I stole his Super Bowl ring.
Okay.
He gave it to me. I was interviewing him and I said, hey, let me see that ring. He took it off, gave it to me. I put it underneath the table to see if when the interview was over, he would remember. He got up, walked around. About 2 hours later, came back and went, guys, I lost my Super Bowl ring. Has anybody seen it? I was like, got it right here on my thumb. It's like three sizes too big, but here you go, big fella.
Right.
Great guy, Max Starks. Love that guy.
Really, really kind fellow. Almost went to USC. He ended up going to Florida, but he almost went to USC. He was down to USC in Florida. He had, both his uncles went to USC and played football. Bruder, I believe, is the last names. And... you know, he's got tons of family here in L.A., so he almost went to USC. It would have been great for USC. Although that was the pre Pete Carroll, although he did end up going to Ron Zook, but did win with Urban Meyer, I guess, later. But, yeah, almost went to USC, so he's very familiar with the USC program because tons of his family went there. But, yeah, it was fun to work with him, and it was a fun game unless you're a USC fan. Not so fun.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you think about the way this USC season is just limping to a finish, right? 4-6, 3-5 inside the conference. UCLA's respectable, 7-4, 5-3 inside the conference. And you think back to the early part of the season when you and I were going back and forth about the firing of Clay Helton and the loss to Stanford. As you get to this point of the year, Stanford got smoked this weekend by Cal, 41-11, and Stanford is a very unimpressive 3-8
They're terrible.
On the year. So just the way things kind of worked out from the beginning to where we are today, pretty incredible. And great job, George. I enjoyed listening to that. And I hopefully today... you'll give me an opportunity to listen on the air to some of your calls, and we can all just sit here and tell you either how great we think you are,
you know,
or we can pick
I
you
hate.
Apart. We can you just completely critique
that.
You.
Yeah, you know how much I hate that. But we may find a spot for it if you really want. Yeah, Laura's already telling me we have some.
We have
plenty.
We got it.
There were, you know, again, we could do it later. Let's talk about LeBron here, who just got suspended for a game.
Which I can't believe. I mean, come on. They're
really?
Playing the Knicks. Well, listen, I expected him to be suspended, but I didn't think the suspension would come down till Wednesday under the assumption that the NBA would want LeBron to play the Knicks in Madison Square Garden.
I mean, yeah, but you can't, like, just blatantly do that, you know? Just is what it is on the schedule. But
I kind of thought they were going to do that.
Did you expect – one game seems in line with what I expected anyway. Like, I didn't think he was going to get more than that. Did you?
I could have seen it where the NBA could have chosen to say, you know what, this was intentional. It's not part of his personality profile. I think Anthony Davis said it really well after the game. He's not known around the league as being a dirty player. This was a dirty play, in my opinion. And I could have seen the NBA suspending him for two games, but I'm really surprised that they didn't suspend the dude from Detroit, who, by the way, prior to yesterday, I've never heard of the guy. I mean, I had to literally look him up. I had to find out where he went to school, how many years he's been in the NBA. And I'm surprised that this kid only got two games, Isaiah Stewart. Because, man, did you hear the PA announcer? Because we all know about the malice in the palace. The PA announcer, George, fans, stay in your seats.
Yeah,
fans,
I mean, they're going to be sensitive to that. Yeah,
right?
They're going to be sensitive to that,
right?
For sure. Although, but it, there was look, Jalen Rose was talking about this today because he was in the building that, you know, for this game, the Lakers game yesterday. And he basically said he was sitting there with Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton when he as he tells the story. And he says there was never a time, even though the PA guy said that, which is the smart thing to do. He said he never felt like by any stretch of the imagination that it was going to be anywhere near like the malice of the palace, like that it was just basically Isaiah Stewart just being really pissed off and fans just kind of like being in awe and enthusiastic about him just kind of going at it and just being like, whoa, I can't believe this is happening. Like that was more the reaction than that is the way he described it.
I am trying to figure this out. I've watched this video. I'm telling you 500 times. Trying to see where LeBron's elbow may have made contact with this kid's face because the blood didn't seem to immediately stream down. I've seen LeBron's backhand hit him directly in the mouth, so I understand the bloody mouth. I haven't been able to exactly figure out where his elbow or his forearm must have hit him in the cheek, but I had this thought that if you're a young guy and you're a second-year player in the NBA and LeBron James hits you and you're bleeding, that instead of losing your mind and trying to start a melee, you're like, oh my God, LeBron elbowed me. It hurts. I'm bleeding. He said he's sorry. That's LeBron. I had his posters on my wall. I'm going to go back to the locker room, and that's the end of it. But this kid, in only his second year in the NBA, George, he wanted all the smoke, or at least his behavior suggested, because he did have a chance to go face-to-face with LeBron. If he wanted to throw,
right,
he could have thrown some hands.
Right. That's my thing. If you really wanted to go at him, you had your chance way earlier than that, you know?
Totally. But it made me think, wow, these young players, rather than respecting who LeBron is to them.
Well, I don't know about that. Look, I think plenty of guys respect LeBron. I think that what happens is, you know, you get smacked in the face, bro. There's people are going to get pissed. And then all of a sudden, you see your, like, while I just said that if you wanted some smoke, you would have gone at it sooner, there are people, in retrospect, as I think about it, that, like, see blood and then they see red. You know what I mean? Like, that's a little different. So I can understand why he got more upset after seeing the blood. Maybe initially he was willing to let it kind of fly. And then all of a sudden he saw blood and then it was different. But, yeah, like, I don't think the respect factor comes into it when you're somebody hit you in the face. Like, I don't care. If Bob Costas hit me in the face, I'd probably want to punch him back, even though I
respect
him.
I mean, if Jim Nance elbowed me to the cheek and I started cut, my cheek was bleeding, I'd be like, oh, my God, that hurts. And I'm bleeding, but it was Jim Nance. Jim, I you're apologizing. Okay, all right. It was an accident. I got it. This kid, it was almost as if it was like LeBron did that, and instead of just being like, okay, it happened. You know, it wasn't necessarily. I mean, at least he made the gesture of, oh, dude, I'm sorry. You know, that was LeBron's initial gesture, right?
Yeah, he did apologize immediately. Yes,
but the kid lost his mind. And I just got to say, I was a bit surprised by it, because I just kind of assumed, especially if you're a second-year player, you're like, that's
no,
LeBron
bro,
James.
You're thinking way too hard now. Like, nobody thinks like that in the immediacy of it.
I don't know. You're going after the number one star
bro,
in your game.
You don't think about it like that. Like, you just think, like, I just got hit in the face.
I know, but if it was Russell Westbrook, I'm like, let's go. Let's throw hands. But if it's LeBron, I'm like, okay, hey, LeBron hit me. Okay, I got it. It's LeBron's league. I'm just playing in it.
Lindsay. If somebody hits you in the face, are you like who's like the person that you like that you respect the most? Or let's just say, I don't know, just give me somebody.
Just off
anybody.
The top of my head, I would say like Ramona.
Okay, Ramona. If Ramona and you were playing, in some physical sport activity for like the station, and she popped you in the face, you probably wouldn't necessarily love her at that given moment, is my guess.
I think, like, my natural reaction would be to turn around and, you know, do the same thing back. I feel like it's, like, more of a reaction thing, right?
Right. Right.
Sorry, Momo.
Hands to yourself, everybody. Everybody keep your hands to yourself. I guess what I'm just saying is, though, is that it's interesting to me because, again, you say I'm overthinking it. Maybe I am. I have a tendency to do that. But I just feel like LeBron is the NBA. He's the star of the league. Now, what do you think, George? Did LeBron hit the kid intentionally?
Yeah, I think he I think what their arms were locked, right? Like sometimes you do when you're jockeying or jostling for position for a rebound at the free throw line, and LeBron went to swing his hand like, "Yo, get off me, bro." And he swung with a back fist and hit him in the face.
Intentional?
I think it was just as simple as that.
Dirty?
I mean, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be swinging your arms like that, like, with a closed fist. I mean, dirty, I don't know if it was dirty, but it certainly was intentional.
Was intentional.
Yeah, I think his intention was to get him off him, and he happened to have his fist closed and hit him, you know what I mean? So I think that the intent was to get the bleep off me, bro. I don't think it was, like, nice, but I don't think he meant to hit him in, like, the eye and cut him all up or whatever.
Yeah. This kid, this guy, he could be an NFL running back. I realize he's 6'8", 250, Isaiah Stewart. But, man, the way he ran through coaches and players, like he wanted a piece. This is, you know, well after the fact. You know, they're kind of trying to calm him down. Man, he was running through the gauntlet of bodies, Laura, on the court.
Laura, if somebody smacks you in the face, aren't you like a little pissed off?
Hell yeah.
Doesn't matter who they are at that moment.
No, because it's like Lindsay said, it's not about who it is. It's the reaction that you do. It's just that flex reaction. So Cap saying that he wouldn't, I'm like, bruh, bye. No.
Well, I'm just surprised only because, again, just my perception is LeBron is the king of the NBA. A young player who's in his second year in the NBA probably had LeBron's posters on the wall. LeBron hits him and he looks at him and he goes, oh my God, LeBron just elbowed me. Now, I know we're playing and we're going toe-to-toe here and I got a job to do, but LeBron just got me. And then he tried to essentially apologize and, no, I don't want an apology. But he had his chance. He, you know, there was that pushing moment where they got face-to-face. If he wanted to take his chance and throw a punch and be the new version of the Detroit Bad Boys, then he had his shot to do it.
I don't think it was that either. I think it's also like you just got hit in the face. You're a guy. It's your ego. You want to
go back. Yeah, bro. Your ego's bruised.
Yeah.
I mean, you think way too much. This is why if you and I did do that fight thing for charity, I would kick your ass. Because you'd be thinking about like, oh, well, if I hit him too hard, maybe on the show it'll you know, react a certain way or something.
Well, I don't want to hurt you, George. I mean, I don't want you to get hurt.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just it. I mean, I don't want to hurt you. Like, do you think LeBron tried to hurt Isaiah? I don't want to hurt you, George.
You would get hurt.
I don't want to cut your cheek.
It's also different when there's competition going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
You played sports.
Yeah, he played. I mean, you were a kicker.
But I'm just telling you guys, I kind of had this thought, like a younger guy would back down because it's LeBron.
God. I don't think anyone ever thinks of that in the immediacy of any of that stuff. But wait, listen, let's keep this rolling. We have two chances at Million Dollar Mondays today. 4:45, 5:45. Basically, here's the deal. Okay, 710 ESPN is the only station giving you a chance to win $1 million. Make sure you're listening closely. We have two giveaways at 4:45 and 5:45. We'll ask you a trivia question related to the show. First person to answer correctly wins Rams tickets and a shot at $1 million. The way you win $1 million is if you win, if you're the caller that wins, we're going to ask you for a Super Bowl prediction, the two teams, and the score. And in February, if you nail it perfectly, if you nail the prediction, we're going to write you a check for $1 million. That's it. But two chances to enter today, 4:45 and 5:45. All right. Coming up next, the Lakers are still struggling on the road despite the win yesterday. Frank Vogel thinks that this could be a seminal moment. We'll tell you what the coach had to say in a second.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and Cap with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget Million Dollar Mondays. We got two giveaways today. So 4:45, 5:45. Basically, you got to listen to the show. We'll do a show trivia. If you are the first person to answer the trivia question correctly, you'll win Rams tickets and get a crack at the $1 million. So you got to listen at 4:45 to win, to get your chance to win. And then 5:45 as well. And basically, the $1 million, once you win the Rams tickets, we'll ask you for a Super Bowl prediction. You give us the two teams and the score for each team. And if you nail the prediction, we'll write you a check for $1 million. It's really
and
that simple.
You know what? You want to know something, George? Now, as we get later into the football season, those who win the opportunity later now, you have a better chance than those from earlier. Because let's face it, who can figure out the NFL? If I were to call today and I were to have a chance to say who my two Super Bowl teams would be, at this point, the NFL is so ridiculous, I can't figure it out on a week-to-week basis. I might take Detroit versus Jacksonville just for the goof.
Because
it's every week, I can't figure it out. I think I know the league. I think I know the teams. And upsets happen. How does Tennessee, of all teams, lose to Houston?
I mean, that's because Ryan Tannehill doesn't have Derrick Henry anymore, and that whole thing, that's all done. That whole Ryan Tannehill's good for a minute thing is over.
Well, he didn't have Derrick Henry when the Titans came out and smashed the Rams, I can tell you that.
Right, but that was the defense that really did that for him. Like, it wasn't anything Ryan Tannehill did.
No, I got you. I'm just saying, it's hard to figure out the NFL every week, major upsets.
They had a lot of injuries, Tennessee, including on the defensive side. So that's it. Like, you know, that'll happen. And the NFL is in theory, supposed to be a league that's predicated on parity, right? So even the bad teams can win occasionally. Let's go to Cassie in Redondo Beach. Cassie, what's up?
I have a few questions, please.
Sure.
Number one, Do you know what is Russell Westbrook's favorite uniform? Is it the purple and gold, the gold and purple, the white, or the anthracite? Because I'm making a mascot, and I've got it most all the way done, but I got to put the uniform on it.
I would guess he likes the purple, if I had to guess. That's just me.
Okay. Number two, did he get a technical last
night? He did. He did. He did not know he got a technical, right. But he did. My guess is because he threw up his hands, although he did not do anything with them. But,
right.
Yeah,
he did. He did put his hands up, didn't he? Like he was getting ready for a hockey fight.
Yeah, he put his dukes up.
He's my new favorite player. I think I can live by 140 years next to him because he's just such a laid-back. He makes me laugh on his comments. Okay, number three. Yeah, that was a lousy call today on LeBron and Stewart. Only thing I want to care about is anybody making sure LeBron's drinking aloe vera juice all day, every day, like water, because that's what he needs.
Okay. I mean, why? What is aloe vera juice going to do for him?
It's going to soothe and coat and heal his insert stomachs all the time. It's absolutely fabulous. Yeah. And you guys,
Cassie, did you call Mason in Ireland today?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't get enough to say everything I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
That's why,
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I just because I heard you earlier.
You guys, you know, with your Chipotle, you guys need to go to Chinatown and get some pochai pills.
Yes, I agree.
P-O-C-H-I, because that's good on your stomach. And then
I take probiotics, Cassie.
We got a guy that comes in. He's got a laser acupuncture, which he needs to lay under. We got that. But I want to know that he's getting his.
What about eggnog? What about eggnog, Cassie? Can we do eggnog since it's the holiday season? You know, put a little brandy in it.
Yeah, but you know, for LeBron, I want him to see rather than water. I'd rather just let him drink as much as he wants. And you know what? With his Kool-Aid, get him his grape and his tropical punch if he wants to.
All right, Cass.
Now
we're done here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I am lost on this phone call, George. I'm completely lost on this call. Cassie, thank you for calling.
Hey.
I didn't understand one thing of what was just said.
For what it's worth, that's not how like the screening part went, just so you guys know. None of that was discussed when I screened the call.
She wasn't a good one.
Well, as Mason generally says, the Sedano and Cap show is the Mason and Ireland post-game show, so she didn't get her comments all in the main broadcast. She's getting her comments in the post-game show. There you go, Mace.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to – there was someone else, I'm sorry, on the line. Let me go – Steven is in L.A. Steven, what's up?
I want to get me some of that aloe vera juice. There.
Yeah, bro. That aloe vera juice makes – it sounds like you're having a good time on the aloe vera juice.
Dude,
there. You'll
live to 140 years right next to Russell Westbrook.
Party on a Monday. Yeah, Cap, I don't know what kind of submissive stuff you're into, but – if you get punched in the face, the only reaction is to want to punch back. That's called your id. That is your natural impulse, your survival instinct. Now, some people are going to be able to walk that back sooner than others, you know, pull in the superego a little bit. And Isaiah had a hard time with that last night. But, you know, seeing blood, he was literally seeing red. I don't blame him for getting mad. I think the LeBron suspension is a little excessive. Honestly, if Isaiah didn't bleed, we'd probably be having a different conversation today. That's just my take.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's inaccurate. I think the blood plays there for sure.
Yeah, and the aftermath of it all. And by the way, listen, here's what I'm trying to get at.
Thank you, Steve.
I think it's a bigger thing. And listen, whether or not you buy what I'm selling, we can have this conversation. But here's what I'm thinking, George.
Nobody's thinking that in real time.
But let me just say this, though. I guess what I'm really getting at is a bigger picture, which is this. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lakers don't just show up anymore with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and this retooled roster and guys who have name brands and so on. The Lakers don't just show up against bad teams like Detroit and have them just bow down and kiss the ring. You know, I feel like the fear factor and the respect factor is no longer there, which is great. I mean, listen, when they're playing Golden State or Phoenix or Utah or Denver, you know, you're like, okay, these are competitive games. But when they're playing a really bad Detroit team with a lot of young players like this kid Isaiah Stewart, nobody was down on their knee kissing the ring. They were there to try and win. And when LeBron hit him, rather than him saying, hey, King, you hit me. Oh, hey, I know you apologized. It's okay, King. It was like, no, I will kick your freaking ass right here on this floor.
Yeah, but again, you're doing this thing with, like, it's LeBron. It doesn't matter. It could have been anybody, and he probably would have reacted that way.
You're right. What I'm saying is that
you're saying is that people don't. You're trying to do this transitive property thing where people don't respect the Lakers right now because their record isn't great. I don't think that has anything to do with that. I think it's just a dude got hit in the face. He saw his blood and he saw red and he wanted to kick someone's ass.
Yeah, but it was LeBron's ass who he wanted to kick.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with the Lakers' record.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the Lakers' record. But what it does have to do with, in my opinion, is that there is no fear factor A, and there's no respect factor B. And listen. I'm not saying there should be. I'm just saying that that's the way I've perceived it. Like, hey, it's LeBron. It's his league. I play in his league, you know, and I'll just sit here and be submissive. You know, I'll kowtow to the king. I like the fact, I think you're missing what I'm saying. I like the fact that Isaiah Stewart was like, oh no, I don't care if it's Russ. I don't care if it's AD. It happens to be the number one star of our league.
Let me do this. Let's do it this way. Okay. You're basically telling me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if Kevin Harlan, who you love.
I love Kevin Harlan.
Punched you right in the face.
Yeah.
And he said, oops, sorry, it was an accident. Okay? And he backfisted you in the face. Okay? You guys were jockeying for position at the TSA line in mm-hmm. the airport. Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're leaving your assignment, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he backfists you in the face.
Right.
Accident or not, mm-hmm. you're not going to be bothered by that?
No, I would be bothered by it. I would be okay. very bothered by it. Okay. But I'd also look at it and I go, that's Kevin Harlan. You know, I could pick him up over my head and throw him 100 feet right out of the ring. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to do that because I love him and I respect him. And I know that it was just an
right,
accident.
But no, yeah.
But in this case, but here's the thing. See, you just made a very interesting point. If it was an accident, you see, I don't think what LeBron did yesterday was accidental.
Okay, let's talk about that more on the other side then.
Okay.
Because we didn't get to Frank Vogel's comments after the game, which I also thought were like, hopeful and wishful thinking is what I would call them. Let's do that next. Plus, we'll get into the Chargers and their big win yesterday. A little more on UCLA and USC this hour. Don't forget, Million Dollar Mondays. We're going to give you a chance to win at 4:45, so about 20 minutes from now. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes. Oh, there's no question you're Buzz Lightyear if you're anyone on this show.
I agree. I don't think I'm a Woody. I think I'm more of a Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like, you know, launching yourself into things, basically. Yes.
Well, you know, you got nice wings, you know, you got protective outfit, you know, kind of gear on.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're Buzz Lightyear, you feel indestructible, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely more Buzz, I would say. By the way, I have an update on your towel thingy.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me.
She liked it. Mm-hmm. It was better than the ones she was using previously.
There you go.
So that was a, I would say, an endorsement.
I think so. Listen, these are my friends. The name of their company is Volo, V-O-L-O, Volo Beauty. And if you're looking for something really fun this holiday season, I'll tell you right now, guys, this is the gift that will keep on giving, if you know what I'm saying, because ladies love this, and they use it all the time. And every time they use it, they'll be like, what a great gift you gave me. And you'll be like, yeah, that's because I was listening to Sedano and Cap. Cap gave them to all the ladies. They all loved them, and that's how I got them. So there you go.
There you go.
Very good, Kelly Sedano. I hope your hair dried fast, and I hope you felt really good about it. Nice, George. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So let's get to this Frank Vogel sound. Laura, do you have the sound that I was referring to earlier? And by the way, it's Million Dollar Monday, so 4:45 and 5:45 today because we didn't have a show last Monday. So we got to double up today. All right, so Vogel after the game, right? Like Lakers mm-hmm. win. They come back down 15. You know, all we've done is talk about the fight today, but they come back down 15. It's a good win. You know, you're down 15 in the fourth quarter. It's a good win. Now, I love Frank. I respect Frank a ton. You know how I feel about him. I feel like he's getting too much grief, which we can get to a little later. But he said something in the postgame that I hope he's right, and I think he's hoping he's right too. Take a listen.
To me, it's one of those things that can change the momentum of your season, you know, to see guys rally around a teammate that just got ejected like that, you know, in a strange circumstance, played with incredible guts, started the fourth quarter down 15. You know, that's the determination that this team is going to need.
So
you're not buying that, huh?
I'm
okay. Let me say this to you. You always tell me that all my talk about team chemistry and personalities and locker room, you call it, as I get it right,
existential mumbo jumbo.
Right. The existential part I was not going to bring in, but mumbo jumbo was the phrase that I remember. When you say that to me, that you think all this team chemistry stuff is a bunch of mumbo jumbo, I couldn't disagree more. And I'll tell you this, George. Yeah, the Pistons aren't a very good team. They were 4-11 yesterday. And yeah, they had a big lead in this game. But when LeBron is attacked, if you will, and everybody else on this team, coaches and players, as AD said, all 15 of our guys, they were not coming after our brother. Not only did we stand up for one of our teammates, like the leader of our team, but we also came back from a big deficit, granted against a very bad team. I agree with AD. I agree with Frank Vogel. And I think this is going to go down as one of the defining moments of this season, where if the season is a success, you're going to look back at this game in Detroit on a Sunday afternoon and you're going to go, that was the game where everything flipped because they were floundering in mediocrity. And you know what? In that one moment where LeBron threw his hand and the kid got hit and the kid went crazy going after him, we all galvanized as a team. We won the game and it propelled us into the future. I agree with these guys. You may call it existential mumbo jumbo. I don't know what existential means, but I don't think it's mumbo jumbo. Comment, please. Give me feedback. Let me hear some reaction.
I like the word mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, I don't know if it's two words, if there's a dash in between the mumbo and the jumbo. I'm not really sure.
I think it's just two separate words is the way I would prefer it, so or the way I would describe it. But, I mean, existential is basically, you know, implying that something is a thing. Something that's not tangible, like that, like this, right? Like chemistry, like we can't quantify it, basically. Look, I think chemistry matters, but I think it matters on the floor. Like, I don't think it needs to... Like, I've seen plenty of teams, Cap, who really like each other, but it doesn't make their performance that much better. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I think chemistry is created by winning, not the other way around. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If you win, of course you're going to have good chemistry. Because who's not going to be in a good mood if you're winning? But if you're losing, that's when chemistry goes south because, yeah, you could all like each other at the beginning of the season. This Laker team, all they talked about, six future Hall of Famers, blah, blah, blah. But if they keep this particular squad together, they're not winning a championship because they can't defend. They give up 130 points. 130 points to Boston in the game previous to this one. Okay?
Right. But
I don't care how good their chemistry is, how much they like each other. It's not going to matter. But my thing with Frank Vogel is, and I think he's being hopeful. And I hope he's right, and I'm wrong. He's been coaching for 15 or 20 years. I'm just some schmuck who's been talking for 15 or 20 years. But I've seen it too many times where, yeah, I mean, you could point to a moment, but I don't know if a win in Detroit is going to do that, you know?
Well, I'm not sure that it really matters if it was Detroit or Golden State. It doesn't really matter, in my opinion, because this was a time where the leader of your team was physically attacked, and the other team's guy was losing his mind and coming after our leader. Okay, so now what do we as his teammates and as his brothers have to do? We got to step up. And it's like Russell Westbrook, hands up, ready to roll. You know, you want to get down? Let's do it. And so Russell was ready. AD was ready. Carmelo brought everybody together and said, hey, come on, let's go. This is the time. They came after our leader. We're down 15. We got to come back here. And I just think that moments like these, even against a bad team like Detroit, can be a turning point, a defining moment in a season.
All right, let's go to Joe in the OC. Joe, what's up? What do you think?
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, Joe, yeah, good, up, buddy. Man? What do you got?
Hey, let's start the show real quick. Yeah, the only thing I think with Cap, just you know, in his assessment of the situation or the reaction, is as a former professional athlete, the moment you step on that court, I'm better than you. It doesn't matter if you're the worst professional athlete out there. You get on that court, LeBron, I'm better than you. So there isn't kissing the ring when you're in the game. And I think that's probably part of his reaction, too. It's not LeBron. It's just, hey, I'm the best player on this court, and you just pushed me.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that. I don't think there's any question. I mean, especially in basketball, Joe, and thank you for the call, where there's only 450 guys basically in the league, you know, at a given time. So I think that could be part of it. Let me sneak in Ray and Irvine. Ray, what's up?
Hey, so I'm looking at this, you know, LeBron probably got what he should have gotten one game. But Isaiah Stewart, I think that's where they should have given him a few more games than just two.
Really?
I agree.
The way he acted,
mean, he created a fiasco. I agree, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he was on the heels of the anniversary of the Malice in the Palace, and to even go there and just the awareness that he should have just
He's also getting fined pretty heavily, though, and he doesn't make that much money, I don't think.
And maybe I'm also thinking LeBron should have probably lost his endorsement for, what is it, that Calm app?
No, it's so funny you say that. I saw that commercial last night when I was watching SportsCenter, and I was thinking to myself, maybe that's what Isaiah Stewart should have needed. And I wanted to tweet it, but my phone was already on the charger, and I didn't want to get up out of bed. And I was like, forget it.
Well, you know, the other part of it is Russell Westbrook. I mean, now that Russell Westbrook is a banker, now that he's an advisor to a bank, I mean, that is not banker behavior where you put up your hands and you're ready to throw dukes. That is so funny you say that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. LeBron promotes this Calm app, and Russell Westbrook promotes the fact that he's an advisor to a bank. This is not banker behavior that we're talking about right here.
Yeah. By the way, Isaiah Stewart is fined $950,000. That's a huge fine.
Where does like that come from?
Yeah. I don't know what the – I could text someone at the league and find out what the logic behind that was. But that's
a lot of money.
How
can you fine that much money and only be suspended two games? In other words, if you told me, look, he's suspended 20 games and he loses $1 million, I go, okay, it's 20 games. But it's two games and he's a second-year player. So
yeah, he's only making three – I mean, he only makes three and – 3.7. So
they're gonna fine the guy 25%?
Almost a third of his salary is gone. Yeah, it's crazy.
I got to understand that. Somebody's gonna have to explain that.
I'll text someone at the league now and just find out.
Please do.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We got more people who want to chime in on all this, and I'm curious. Do you agree with Vogel? This is some galvanizing moment. 877-710 ESPN. Speaking of galvanizing, could that be the case for the Chargers? We'll get to that coming up in just a second. And it's Million Dollar Mondays. So next segment, we're going to play a trivia question for you, or ask a trivia question for you, and you got to answer it. First person that gets it will win Rams tickets and then get a crack at the Million Dollar competition, which basically is you giving us your two teams in the Super Bowl and the score for both teams. And in February, if you nail the prediction, we're giving you $1 million. It's that simple. So that's coming up next. Make sure you line up for that at 877-710-ESPN as well. Is it Travis's birthday today? Is that what he just said?
Yeah, it was plastered all over Twitter today. Cakes.
I haven't been
studio.
On social media very much today. So
yeah, man.
Happy birthday, Travis. I hope your taste buds came back after all that Howling Rays you had the other day. Because I feel like Laura was out of commission for like hours.
Okay, not hours. Let's not get it twisted.
I mean,
it was like 30 minutes. 30
it was
minutes.
A lot.
That's a lot, though.
No.
My Mexican card don't need to be revoked today, okay? I have finally got it back.
you were out of commission for a while.
Right. Okay, an hour.
When you necesitan leche, that is un problema, see?
I mean, I understood what you said, and I think people understood what you said, but it wasn't anywhere near the right conjugation of the verbs and the adjectives and all that stuff. Yes.
Well,
when you need milk, it's a problem. That's what he meant.
That is Hebraic Spanglish is what that is right there.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, 877-710-ESPN. Here's the deal. We're going to do $2 million Monday giveaways because we weren't on last Monday. So this is how it works. We're going to give away Rams tickets if you answer the trivia question correctly. We're obviously do completely different trivia questions now and at 5:45. And then if you win, you will get the tickets immediately, and then you give us a Super Bowl prediction, the two teams, and the score for the two teams. And in February, if you nail the prediction, we're stroking you a check for $1 million. That's it.
Good luck trying to figure this out.
All right, so the question is, who did Cap want to hear from about the hair towel that he gave away? Who did Cap want to hear from today about the hair towel that he gave to all the ladies associated with the program? So hit us up at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But real quick, not your daddy's Chargers, Scott Kaplan. I know that you are kind of painted as a villain when it comes to the Chargers, but I'll say this. I feel like that's a game the Chargers would have lost pre-Justin Herbert growing up, basically, for lack of a better phrase.
That's a game that the Chargers have lost in the Justin Herbert era already. When you have a lead of 24-10, and then as you know, you get into the fourth quarter, the score was 27 to 10 going into the fourth quarter, and you give up 27 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You find yourself losing games like those until you make a spectacular pass. I don't know what the Pittsburgh defense is doing. Now, granted, you know, I saw Snoop Dogg on the post-game interview last night, and it's true. The Steelers are missing their top defensive end, T.J. Watt. They're missing one of their top corners in Joe Hayden. They're missing one of their safeties in Minkah Fitzpatrick. So they're missing three really critical parts of their defense. But as Mike Tomlin said after the game, you know, can't use injuries as an excuse. We had to go out there and play with the bodies that we had available to us and explain. I mean, somebody, how can Mike Williams, as talented as a player as that kid is, how can he be left alone with 2 minutes and change to go in the game and the Chargers down by whatever it was at the time? So, really, incredible. It was 37-34 at the time, just to make sure we're clear, but they've lost games like this before, George. You got to give them credit.
I am giving them credit. Are you willing to give them credit? You're the one who revokes their credit.
Well, I am the card-carrying member and president of the Charger Hater Club. However, that all being said, I love a guy like Austin Ekeler because I love a story like that as an undrafted free agent who winds up scoring four touchdowns. And
can you answer the question? Don't give me the resume of the player. Answer the damn question already.
How good was the Lakers' win yesterday against Detroit?
Eh.
Yeah, okay, well, that's the same for the Chargers, because Pittsburgh
is... it?
Eh, yeah. Yeah, Pittsburgh's eh.
I mean, they aren't that great. Oh, but they're not the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are going to be arguably the worst team in the league this year.
Okay, they're not the worst team in the league, Pittsburgh. But as you well know, Ben Roethlisberger was out last week.
He's washed.
There were question marks about, yeah. And he's washed, and there were question marks about whether or not he was going to play. And the Steeler defense comes in down three of their most important players, including their number one most important player in T.J. Watt. And so, look... did the Chargers come up big last night? Yeah. Was it on national television? Yes. Will you all of a sudden start hyping them up? Yes, you will. I will not.
Okay. Hater.
Hater. Yes.
I mean, you. I'm not even like doing that facetiously. You've already said you are.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Total hater. But that all being said, credit to him, because that's the kind of game when you give up 27 points in the fourth quarter, you wind up losing. Credit to him for finding a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, it was freaky the way it all happened, too, you know what I mean, as it all unfolded. But, all right, let's go to the phones. It is Million Dollar Mondays. We normally do it 5:45, but we weren't on last Monday, so we got to do two today. So I did the trivia question. The trivia question was, I want to make sure I read it properly. Who did Cap want to hear from about the hair towel he gave away? So feel free to hit us up. Chris in Camarillo is first. Chris, who is it?
Man,
you can't curse, bro.
I know that was one of those curses too, where like you're just saying it and you don't even think twice about it, you know?
Yeah, he cursed, but he didn't curse at us. He cursed because he was like comfortable.
It was like a transitionary word, sort of.
Yeah,
you know,
he was like bleep, man. I don't even know, you know, right. Like yeah.
Then listen.
Yeah. Don't curse when you come on the air. Can you do everybody a favor and not curse?
Yeah.
Otherwise, right. You got no chance for $1 million.
Correct. Who did Cap want to hear from about the hair towel he gave away today? Because he had given away three hair towels, one person that hadn't responded yet. Who was the person he wanted to hear from? Robert in Thousand Oaks.
I'm guessing Amanda.
No.
It's a great guess. It really is.
It is a great guess. Yeah. It is a great guess, but it wasn't.
She's actually next, by the way. She's the one who I would like to hear from next.
Yeah. Yeah. Hector in L.A. Hector, who?
Hector.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
Hector, who did Cap want to hear from about the hair towel today?
From Mrs. Sedano.
Correct. That is correct. From Mrs. Sedano. We did finally hear from her. That is correct.
Yeah, baby.
Hector, congratulations. You win Rams-Jags tickets. And now I need your Super Bowl prediction. First of all, before that, what's your last name, Hector?
Noeta? Yeah,
Loretta. Oh, Loretta. Loretta. Got it. Okay. Hector Loretta in Los Angeles. All right. Give me your Super Bowl prediction. Give me the two teams and the final score between the two teams, the score for each team. If you nail this prediction, okay, if you get the two teams and the score between the two teams, right, each individual score for each team, we will stroke you a check for $1 million. So there's a lot riding on this. So go ahead and all tell right. us the two teams and the two scores.
Okay, I'm going to go Rams 31, Patriots 24.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh. I like Patriots so especially because that's one that we haven't heard yet.
Right. So see, exactly right. That's exactly what I would do. Patriots, and I listen, you're taking the Rams. I would stay away from the Rams because everybody else has already taken them. I would have taken like Arizona or even better. How about Tampa Bay versus New England?
You love your boyfriend, Tom Brady. Yeah, Hector, good luck. In? Hector Loretta in Los Angeles. You win the Rams-Jags tickets. You got Rams 31, Patriots 24 in the Super Bowl. Good luck, brother, and thank you for listening. We're going to put you on hold, okay?
Thanks, guys.
All right. Way to go, Hector.
Yeah,
Tom Brady went walking into the stadium tonight, George. You know, you're not supposed to wear white after, is it Memorial Day or is it Labor Day? Which one is it?
It's Labor Day. You definitely should wear white after Memorial Day. It's the summer.
Okay, well, I always screw those two holidays up. Tom Brady walked in tonight, white jeans, white T-shirt, like a khaki-looking coat, looking absolutely money.
Well, he lives
money.
In Florida. I mean, it's a little different. So.
Well, I'm just telling you, he looked really
sharp.
You
can get away with that in certain places.
I think Tom's going to bring his A-game. He brought his A-game wardrobe walking into the stadium. I think he's going to bring his A-game on the field
tonight.
Well,
I mean, they're playing the Giants, so they should win this one fairly easily.
I know, but
aren't they like
the
17-point favorites or something
I know,
like
but
that?
Who can figure it out? How does Tennessee lose to Houston? Explain this to me, George Sedano.
I mean, it's the NFL. It's just NFL stuff. That's how it works. So, all right, coming up next, we were talking about Frank Vogel, and I wanted to ask the question. He basically said yesterday's game could galvanize the team, that this could be the game that jumpstarts them. Are you buying that? 877-710-ESPN. Cap is. Also, my guy Vogel, and he is my guy, all right? I'll be honest. You guys know that, all right? He's on a watch list, and it's not a good one. I'll explain what that means coming up in just a second. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Valvoline. Listen, guys, it's very simple, right? Is your vehicle due for service? Well, go to your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Home with a 15-minute drive-thru oil change for over 30 years. Valvoline has provided quick and convenient services for your car for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to the dirty waiting room at Valvoline. You stay in your car nice and safe while the experts make sure your ride's in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit their website, SoCalOilChange.com, for locations and game-winning coupons. All right, we got what you need to know. We're going to get to this Vogel conversation. I want to hear from you guys. Do you believe that game can galvanize them and, you know, bring them all together, and that will be the win that we'll look back on and say that was where the season turned? Or are you not buying it because Detroit was 4-11 going into the game? 877-710-ESPN, what you need to know in between, 710-ESPN, back in 3 minutes.